We are being transformed from one degree of glory into another. And this is the work of the Lord, the Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Our celebration today, Pentecost, the culmination of the season of Easter, and at the same time, the beginning of something new. So new that language is inadequate. St. Luke relies on simile in the Acts of the Apostles, writing that what happened in the upper room in Jerusalem was like a violent rushing wind. What happened to the men and women gathered there was like tongues of flame alighting on each one. Those who were drawn to the commotion thought the people were acting like those who had drunk too much new wine. There was no adequate way to describe what happened. In spite of this, words were found for adequately describing the effect of the mysterious. The people from the upper room, all from Galilee, were heard in different languages. People from far and near heard something they could understand about the good news of God in Christ. And those men and women in the upper room who'd been with Jesus for the last 3 years of his life, and who had just passed through the most bewildering 50 days of their life, found that they had the power, the vocation, the grace to proclaim the word and works of God. It's difficult to imagine a less likely group of people who might change the world, but change it they did. And although we don't know the names of most of them, we're still speaking about this change more than 2,000 years later. This celebration today is to remember that first Pentecost when God the Holy Spirit strengthened the followers of Jesus with himself and also enabled all the others to hear what they had to say, to see the effects of the change, and then also to risk entering into the mystery of it and so be changed themselves. It's no wonder words are inadequate. Change is always frightening. Even the change to which we look forward, a new job, getting married, moving house, retirement. It's frightening because we don't know what the future is. It's the future. We're nervous when we affect the threshold of change. Who will we be in the new situation? What will be required of us? How might we change? Being strengthened for change is one of the central themes of Pentecost. And this can get lost if we simply focus on those similes from St. Luke. The first time St. Peter spoke in public or preached the gospel was at that first Pentecost. His preparation for it was the gift of God, the Holy Spirit. But he didn't know what he'd received until he experienced the effects. St. Paul also experienced some of this as he encountered the mysterious risen Jesus on the road to Damascus. He didn't know at the time that God was also speaking to a resident of Damascus, a follower of Jesus, and telling him to go, find Paul, and pray that he would regain his blinded sight. Paul didn't know that he'd been given the Holy Spirit to bring the good news of Christ to the Gentiles. But this is what he recognized as he saw the effects. In our first reading this evening, we remembered how God would show himself to Moses and to the people that he was leading. When the pillar of cloud was in front of Moses' tent, God was there. When the pillar of cloud went, they went too. When the pillar of cloud wasn't there, the people felt there was no point going anywhere. When Moses had been away from God's presence for more than a couple of days, he covered his face with a veil so that the people couldn't see God's glory fading. Because when they saw God's glory fading, they were frightened, just as when they were frightened by the absence of the cloud. Moses' people needed these signs of God's presence so they might feel distinctive among their neighbors. But the signs of God's presence for us and reading back for them was a foretaste of Pentecost. In the second lesson, we heard something of a letter from Paul to the church in Corinth. Paul wrote to deal with some unfinished business, and he felt he needed to defend his apostleship. He felt that his new life was being questioned and doubted, and so he drew on his religious heritage to compare the new life in Christ with the old. The old life in God required mediating through a covenant with Moses, but it wasn't lasting. It required Moses to return time and time again into the presence of God in order to bring the glory of God's presence down to his people. But Paul told the Christians in Corinth they didn't need a veil because the glory of God wouldn't fade in them because Christ was in their hearts. What had glory, he wrote, in this case has no glory because of that which surpasses it. No matter what was the glory shining in Moses' face, it would vanish. But now, with unveiled faces, we behold the glory of the Lord. We are being transformed into the same image, just as from the Lord. The rushing wind and tongues of fire of that first Pentecost had become only a few years later in the embryonic church the source of unveiled faces, an unsurpassing glory in each who believed. As with the languages on that first day, this was the effect of lives of witnesses, witnesses which were lasting, witnesses which proclaimed God's glory. So what about us on this our Pentecost? What about the Church of God today? We, as all disciples of Christ, carry the effects of Pentecost, the glory of God, not just in our faces, but in our lives, in lives transformed by God's presence. Do we see that effect of Pentecost, what St. Paul calls in the letter to the Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These effects are what can be seen when we, with unveiled faces, are being transformed from one degree of glory to another. If Pentecost is just a one-off, something more than 2,000 years ago, then it's simply something of history. All there is for us is remembering it. If, however, the transformation at the heart of the work of God, the Holy Spirit, is not one-off, then there's something for each one of us, today and every day. At the first Pentecost, individuals were changed. The community was changed. There was no going back, and the church was born. We may never feel that we have the power or the potential to change the world. But together, being transformed from one degree of glory to another, we with unveiled faces, communicating God the Holy Spirit's change in our lives, have the potential to do just what these first followers of Jesus did. Regardless of what we may do this week, how important or insignificant we feel, nevertheless, we carry Christ with us. He goes before us and remains with us through God the Holy Spirit. And so it's we together, with all our brothers and sisters in Christ, who with unveiled faces show that transformation power of God the Holy Spirit and live out that fruit for our good, for the good of our church, and for the good of the world we serve. Amen.